Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Today's podcast is number 17, February 23rd, 2006. I'll be joined by my co-host, Steve Falb, and Desiree will be joining us in the second part of the show. Steve?
MechofSpeed.com, your source for champ car and road racing photography, desktops, interviews, and editorials. Our goal is to bring you the full spectrum of motorsports, including art, hand-built die-cast cases, racing personalities, and answers to the not-so-common questions. We invite all road racing enthusiasts to join our forum for both enthusiastic debate and light-hearted insights on the world of racing. Don't be a wanker. Turn right. MechofSpeed.com.
Thank you, Steve. I like MechofSpeed. They're good people. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah. They know that champ car stuff inside and out.
They do,
and they're pretty knowledgeable about the F1 stuff.
They know
too.
Their F1 stuff too. Those guys are good open wheel racers. I do want to mention that we have our producer David Tapia back today. Thank goodness. Okay, let's get to Formula One, Barcelona.
Vroom vroom!
Everybody quit today. It was last day of testing at Barcelona, and. Honda, Renault, Jenson Button by a couple of hundredths. He was ahead. But everybody's saying, I mean, we're 2 weeks from the race. I think Renault has an excellent chance of winning the opening race. I'm hoping it's Giancarlo Fisichella. But Honda looks fantastic as well. Now, we know with the last few long runs that Kimi Raikkonen was doing and Juan Pablo in the McLaren, they were fantastically fast. And right behind them, even though the Ferrari has had so many problems, I believe they're right behind them as well. And Toyota's new aero package, which I think is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life, is proving to be quite successful. And I thought something was pretty interesting today. Super Aguri finished their test today, and they have put out a press release that they will be showing up in Bahrain with a new aero package. It's going to have to be a damn good new aero package.
They're going to be really competitive.
Well, they've done a lot of work. They were improving, and they were up to 2 seconds off the pace today. So
it was a little, what was it, 12 earlier in the week or something?
It was
like
the first day was 12, but obviously we knew they were not pushing the car at all. They were checking the systems from the electronics to the hydraulics to the transmission. So let's not put them down too quickly. They're running with an older chassis, but a newer V8. The Honda V8 seems to be pretty good. Now, usually customer engines aren't as good as the real McCoy, but I'm not putting anything past Super Aguri, but I was really stunned the other day when I saw that Super Aguri himself said that after 5 years, he's hanging it up.
Yeah, he's been doing this for, what, 6 months, and he's already tired.
Well, I mean, he's got the IRL team, and he used to drive, and he's been involved in racing for a number of years. But apparently he said that when he turns 50 years old, he's hanging it up. It's over. So obviously, either the team gets passed on to a new principal, but I'm surprised that they would only be in F1 for just 5 years. 5 years goes by pretty fast.
Yes, yeah, and it wasn't the Renault principal, isn't he notorious for going, one more year?
Well, no, Fabio, but that's true. Renault could be out of it very soon, but at least they say it up front. And they're world champions. They can say what they want. Yeah. Since we're in Spain talking about the testing, Valencia, which is a pretty nice track. I've seen a lot of pictures of it. And they're saying that they want to have a Grand Prix there. And I don't think Barcelona is going to like that.
Yet another country where they're going to start swapping the annual Grand Prix?
Well, they're saying Spain wants a second Grand Prix. And Bernie Ecclestone has reportedly played down the suggestions completely that a second Grand Prix in Spain is out of the question. We already have two in Germany. One's called the European, and we know that's going to be over pretty soon. The two in Italy, Monza and San Marino, Imola, that's going to be over pretty soon. I can't see that hanging around, especially with places like Moscow, India. Everybody wants a Grand Prix now.
Exactly.
Uzbekistan.
Kazakhstan.
Uzbekistan.
I thought it was Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan?
That wanted it. Wanted enough.
Where there was intrigue and murder. The one next to the airport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read about that. That's never going to happen. There's just too much chaos in that country for a Grand Prix. Also, very intriguing today, news about Kimi Raikkonen rejecting a $72 million deal.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think he doesn't want to race for McLaren next year.
I think it's beyond that. I think he's already signed for Ferrari secretly, and he's committed to Ferrari, and it's just all done. Ferrari is not like Ron Dennis. They will not go out and say, yes, we have Kimi Raikkonen. They just don't do it that way. I have to admit.
He actually may not be signed to a contract yet with Ferrari.
No, but
he may be signed to a letter of intent.
I think they have an agreement.
Something like that, where he's not legally committed yet, but he's a gentleman's agreement. It's a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, they follow those gentleman's agreements all the time, don't they?
Yep. Which means Kimi's going to be looking for a job at the beginning of next season.
Exactly. Okay, we're still in Spain. I want to talk about Jenson Button a little bit. He's hot.
Yeah, he's been his laps in the preseason have been very, very
outstanding.
Good.
Outstanding. And actually, Button holds the lap at Valencia.
The lap record.
The lap record, I think it was back in 2004. Now, of course, those were V10s, but very impressive. His day ended with a 1:13.935. Only three drivers to dip below the 1:14 mark. This is Barcelona.
Yeah, and Fisi was one of them too today.
Fisichella, and I'm not sure who else.
I didn't catch the. I just saw the first two.
Well, they were top three. It was obviously Button, Fisichella, and
was it the other
Fernando Alonso?
Oh, Alonso!
Come on, let's think here.
Fernando.
Also, another rumor about a B team. I like B teams.
Yeah, always nice to have a second string.
Well, they do. And this is an interesting B-team, and we've talked about it before, and it's been brought up a number of times. John Zalesi, he's now executive director of... What's that name of that company?
Directive.
He's senior executive director. Directive is a new McLaren partner and was last year linked with Super Aguri as well.
He's the health nut, right?
No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. They're not linked with Super Aguri. They're just using that as an example on what kind of B-team it would be, a Super Aguri-like B-team. But I like John Zalesi. He's a good man. He's really made a lot of effort. I liked his driving style. I always thought he was a very good driver, very fair driver, just had some bad luck. So to be honest with you...
Whose B-team would they be? A McLaren B-team?
It'd be a McLaren B-team. But I'm not sure if Max would allow a 24-car grid.
No, 24 is the maximum.
Really? So we have room for one more.
12 teams is the FIA maximum.
That's beautiful. Okay, well, if we could get 24 teams... 12 teams, 24 cars next year, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think... Well, that's part of why Max was... raking on the manufacturers about getting their signing up on the Concorde, because they've got that window, and Max, I guess, knows that Bernie's got some people in the wings who want to put teams together and get in on the action.
Well, yeah, and I've heard them quote Roger Penske as interested in putting together a team
if they could get the cost down to $200 million a year.
But you know, I don't know. I can't imagine. I mean, I like Roger Penske, great history, but I can't imagine him getting into Formula One at this stage in his life.
Well, it's not necessarily him; it's his team.
His team, but trust me, Roger makes the big decisions at Penske. So,
but if 200 million is his threshold, and Renault won the championship with 289, you ought to be able to get in there and be competitive with 200.
I think so, since Renault won the world championship with, what, $247 million?
Yeah, $247, $280, something like that. Yeah, it was under three.
It was well under three, so it can be done. Alex Zanardi was back in the limelight today.
Yeah, I saw the headline for him.
Yeah, I've always liked Alex Zanardi, I mean, when he went to Williams, I was all excited, and then it turned into a large bomb. And that was a big bummer. But he says, well, he, as a lot of people know, he's now a driver for the BMW DTM series. And he's done quite well. He's actually won a Spa race. I think he, I'm not sure if he's won more than one race, but he's done well. He's fairly well respected. And he's saying that BMW, because I'm sure he's got a few inside lines, he's saying BMW is much quicker than he expected, and we should expect a lot from BMW this year. Don't count them out. They could be right there, probably in the same range as a Williams.
They hopefully their engine will be at least as fast as the Cosworth.
Exactly. Oh, I think they're striving for that. Let's just see if it's a little more dependable than the V10 was, because they used to have a lot of blowouts. But Zanardi thinks BMW will do really, really well. And
what is it with German engines and boom?
I don't know. I'm not going to go there, Steve.
Okay.
Not going to go there. But yeah, they do boom a lot. But I don't know. A lot of people blame the failure of motors, not necessarily just on the engine. It's the way the driver handles the car at a particular race. And some drivers are smooth and some are not. Fisichella is a smooth driver. And you have to manage the race. People think you just hit the, you know, you're going, you know, balls to the wall all the time, but that's not the case. And actually, that was the positive side about not having tire changes. What really, really brings out the best in the smoother drivers, the manager drivers, the cerebral drivers that really use the, it's like a whole, it's the zen of driving.
Yeah, instead of just all gas, all brake.
Exactly. So, I mean, I like tire changes, I like good pit stops. But I'm pretty excited to see what happens. But I predict Renault's going to take it all the way. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
So anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that we have Desiree coming on pretty soon.
Yep, Desi's on today.
Exactly. She's got a bunch of good stuff. I was looking at her notes. A lot of Mark Webber stuff. Patrick Head, as we all heard last week, I guess there was a bollocking. Patrick had to give him a bollocking, as they say, a bullocking, bollocking. I'm not British, so I apologize. So this should be pretty informative, and she'll also have some McLaren stuff, some Michelin stuff, who's ahead of who. Some people are saying Bridgestone is ahead of Michelin. I saw that today. Everybody's saying that Michelin is ahead of Bridgestone, as usual. I see none of that. So we're going to get set to go to a break pretty soon. When we come back, we will have Desiree on the line. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Now stay tuned for our Formula One trivia question.
All right, now for today's F1 trivia. Has Minardi ever had a podium finish? If so, when? And if not, what's the best that they've ever done in a single race? I'll have the answer toward the end of the podcast.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And I'm joined by Steve Falb, my co-host, and we'll be hearing from Desiree in a few short minutes. Also, that was a great Formula One trivia question. Stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. It's excellent stuff, and we've been getting some positive feedback about the trivia, so we're going to hang on to it for a while. Okay, we're going to go to Desiree on the coast of California. Desiree, how are you?
Hey, dude.
Hey.
Greetings from the coast of California.
Surf's up.
Right on. Up.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I want to tell our listeners that we're trying out some new technology to get Desiree a little clearer and right up front with our listeners. Of course, we can't talk about this technology, but Once we know it's successful, we'll bring it up in the program. So anyway, go ahead, Desiree. What do you got for us in terms of Formula One?
Yes, well, hello, everybody. Hello, listeners. I was listening to your last podcast, and you were mentioning Mark Webber and Williams. They had a little talking to each other, and so I thought that was kind of interesting, so I went and looked it up online, and I just have, there's a couple of good sound bites or a couple of quotes that about from Mark Webber that I thought were kind of cute. It was a question that says, Patrick Head has said you and the team gave each other a mutual bollocking last year. Has that helped clear the air? And Mark Webber is like, it is good we were honest with each other. There were things that we could improve on both sides, and I think we saw the performance change a bit from both sides in the end. And he says, I still feel there were a few races like Silverstone where the performance was not there, and I absolutely totally drove my balls off, and it was the same as Suzuka. But if you lose a second a lap, then you can't see it. So he was driving his off and a little bit frustrated.
Yeah, I sort of agree with him. It's got to be rough. Because yeah. he had such high expectations of the FW27, thinking that he would be pretty much on the podium. And it just didn't happen.
Yes, yeah, he was brought over to Williams from Jaguar. And he was reflecting back on his year at Jaguar, mm-hmm. and he says, 2006 is a crucial year, but he said every year is crucial. And he says, the year I first went to Jaguar, people said Antonio Pozzonia was going to kick me arse. And I proved myself at Jaguar, and then Williams liked me, and I went there. It didn't work out last year, no question about it. So how Williams describes Mark Webber's personality, I thought was kind of charming. They put, in a sport awash with a lavish degree of window dressing, there's something remarkably engaging and refreshing about the sometimes brutal native honesty of Mark Webber.
Wow.
So that's how they put it.
That's
that he's honest and shoots from the hip and doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, that's very eloquent. How do you think Mark Webber, just give me a quick prediction, as he's going to do this year?
He was fastest one time on the testing this week. He was the top.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have high hopes for Mark Webber and the Cosworth motor.
Yes. And then I just wanted to mention a little bit on the personal side. Everybody kind of knows that he's an avid cyclist. And he ran around a tour with the Tour de France champ.
Well, he's also trained with our buddy here, Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, he's cycled with him.
He's
a big cyclist. But I found out that he's also the co-sponsor of his local boxing club.
Really?
So, yeah.
Man, jack of
all
trades.
He's all-around sportsman.
Wow, a renaissance.
And he's friends with all the rugby people in Australia. They all hang with him and stuff. But he currently lives a quiet life in the English countryside in Buckinghamshire, is where he lives now, with his two dogs. But one thing slightly moving sideways, speaking about Webber, that for the upcoming Grand Prix in Bahrain, Australians like Williams, Mark Webber, and Sam Michael have been officially told to stay away from the scene of the 2006 season opener in Bahrain.
And who told them that?
This was the country's federal Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and said the same kind of threat is also applies for Americans. There's a high threat of terrorist attack in the small Arab nation. They continue to receive reports that terrorists are planning attacks against Western interests in the region. So they're supposed to stay away from the outdoor recreation events.
What is
a place that could be possible? They could be possible targets.
Oh, I see. So they shouldn't be running around town.
Yes, because Bahrain is holding like these huge festivals.
Yes, the F1 festival I think starts this Friday.
Yeah, it's like a week-long thing. It's going up and down the King Highway and all this, pomp and circumstance, because they're really, really trying to drum up the Formula One fever.
They are.
But Mark Webber better stay away from open spaces where a shot could be made on him. So that's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary, but I'm not concerned. I think that everything's going to be fine. So let's go ahead and move along and go past Mark Webber, and what's your next topic, Juan Pablo?
Well, no, not so much Juan Pablo. I was just there was a quote that, again, just on Mark Webber, that that Juan Pablo was saying that he thinks Bridgestone is ahead of Michelin in the tire race. And Mark Webber replied that. He says, all the Michelin guys are saying that. Fernando and JPM, I think they are putting pressure on the Michelin guys, and we still see it the other way. He thinks it's a bit of propaganda.
Well, I think I'm sure both tires have improved. They've got some new compounds. I even heard that they're bringing out some old 2004 compounds from when they were tire changing during that season, and apparently some of those compounds are working quite well. So I think it's going to be a retro tire. You're going to see some of the same tires. Now, of course, it's nothing we see, but in terms of response, I think you'll see a bit of a softer compound than 2004 because of the added strain on the tire from the V10's performance.
But, yes, I heard that as well. They had like a stock of new old stock of tires that were like turned down previously, but now are good again.
Excellent. I like that.
Yeah. Hey, might as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're into recycling here.
Exactly.
In
that's
as
very
well.
California. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. And then you were also talking about how well Cosworth was doing.
I was.
And so I just wanted to refresh the listeners' memory of a little bit about the Cosworth history.
Very good.
Because they've only been in here, you know, a little bit in the last few years of Formula One. But the Williams team started working with, you know, the Cosworth engine, right? You know, in November, they've been putting on over 7,000, you know, kilometers of test mileage.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cosworth team has the British company started in 1958, Mike Costin and Keith Duckworth, the late Keith Duckworth now.
Exactly.
And Cosworth was one of the most successful engine manufacturers in the history of Formula One.
Exactly.
Until 2004 when Ferrari surpassed them.
I think Cosworth, if you don't count the Ford Z-Tech engine, I think Cosworth has 155 wins.
Yes, they're let's see. They had 176, I think, from what I read. I think if I'm reading it correctly.
Okay.
And so they were the winningest until Ferrari surpassed them. And then Cosworth also makes Scuderia Toro Rosso's V10.
Correct.
And Cosworth is the solo engine manufacturer for the Atlantic series, the open wheel series.
Correct. The one that Catherine Legg was driving in last year.
Right. And where Danica started. So
exactly.
They're the engine for the whole open wheel. So they have the stuff. So
I think they
I don't
do.
Know why Williams would still be talking to Toyota.
Exactly.
Because they've been pretty reliable as well.
I agree with you. I was discussing this with John Vatney from meccaofspeed.com because he has some terrific information on the Cosworth history. And we both concur that I think Williams should have a little testicular fortitude and go with Cosworth. Announce it now. Forget the Lexus badge, Toyota. So far, Toyota hasn't shown the speed that the Cosworth has shown. So there you
exactly.
have it. That's my editorializing right there.
For sure. That's why I want to look back. You know, I have people remember the history that these people have their history, they have their chops, and they're, you know, they're worthy to be in Formula One.
I agree. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on from Cosworth.
Yeah, I was just going to talk a little bit about Super Guri. I think you and Steve were talking about them earlier.
I love Super Guri.
You were talking a little bit about their aero package. Because the one that they were running right this week in Barcelona was actually illegal. They were using illegal aerodynamics.
They did look illegal. The front wing looked illegal. There
yes.
was a number of aspects from the 2002 A23 Arrows car that were still lingering. But I think they're having some body work done.
Yes.
And,
Before the Bahrain Grand Prix, they're going to get new M plates for the rear wing.
That's wonderful.
A higher engine cover, and
there you go,
extended
yes.
flick ups for the rear of the side pods.
The engine covers have gone higher in the past 2 years. So
yeah, and they're going to get they have to raise theirs as well. So they had the Bahrain spec mechanical and electrical components, but not the aero package. So they're going to slap that on before the race starts. And I think you were mentioning, let's see. Oh, also the rumor with Super Guri is that it might be the potential new home for the former Renault test driver, Franck Montagny.
Franck Montagny.
Montagny, yes. He was going to be in another racing series.
Well, he had tried out for was it PKV? I can't remember, but for a Champ Car team, and he was definitely, I thought he was going to get hired.
Yes, but the thought behind him what maybe wanting to be in the F1 arena is because he's in F1.
Well, we call it the Sebastian Bourdain of your career.
Oh man.
It's a new term I came up with, but you don't want to be Sebastian Bourdain, or you're stuck and Flavio goes, "No, we don't want you. Go back to America. Yeah. Eat your hamburger, okay?"
Cheeseburguesa. But he's keeping in mind probably that they will be getting their new chassis coming up in April. So it wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah.
And also they are powered by Honda. And
I agree.
As you were talking about, Honda's been kicking butt.
Honda's kicking butt. They are powered by Honda. I think Frank Montagny probably wants to show how good he is. He'll probably be quicker than both Takuma Sato or Ide. Exactly.
Ide.
That's what I said.
Yes, Ide has only drove 44 laps.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
no, Frank, and speaking of people who want to stay in F1, and they're staying away from being Sebastian Bourdain, is Timo Glock. Timo Glock drove Champ Cars fairly successfully last year. He is coming back to GP2 now because he sees people like Nico Rosberg, Nelson Piquet, and a variety of other drivers doing well in GP2 like Scott Speed and then graduating to Formula 1 and not having the curse of not getting in Formula 1 and having to go to America for Champ Car Series. So
yes.
There you have it. That's my
It's a closer rung on the ladder.
Exactly.
Of the ladder of the
okay,
ladders.
So we wish Frank a lot of luck. Let's move on.
Bonne
chance, Frankie. Hein? Alors. Okay, let's go to Red
and,
Bull.
You just said Flavio. That reminds me how Flavio has been bitching that Red Bull, they have been throwing their money around.
They have.
Snagging personnel from other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Flavio's like, they better do as well once they start racing as, equal to the amount of money that they've been spending.
Well, I think the pressure will be on.
Yeah, the pressure's on. But there's a Red Bull has the drink company has reported a 29% increase in their profits last year, so they're just getting richer.
So they just make money by spending money.
Yeah, and I guess Flavio is el cheapskate. He's just envious. But if they have so much money, maybe they need to give a raise to little Christian Kleen.
Maybe they should.
The trouble that he's had in the discotheque trouble.
Maybe they could sponsor. Maybe they could sponsor F1Weekly.com.
They have the. I know. F1Weekly.com. We have wings too. Sure.
throw us
a little
money.
The trouble that Christian Kleen was in was all stemming from a bar tab that he was. He had issues with the bar tab. He didn't pay the tab.
I like him.
And the rumor was saying that he was thrown out 86th, as we say in America, out of the bar for not paying his tab.
Wow.
But
well,
he just wanted to go over the tab and make sure the charges were correct.
Okay.
So I guess he's a little on the frugal side, but
the assault charges,
there's no witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So there's no charges made against him.
So
and he also says he has an email that says that the manager from the disco is called Enjoy, that refutes saying that he was 86th out of the bar. So
Okay. Hopefully
he can get back to F1 racing instead of thinking about such things.
I concur. Because
the Red Bull teams had a lot of troubles. I think a lot of it's the weather. Everyone's getting, sideswiped by this weather.
Exactly,
Red Bull was actually supposed to be having their dress rehearsals for Bahrain this week.
But they were rained out over at Imola?
No, they've been in... They've been in Barcelona.
Barcelona, okay.
So everyone's having the same weather.
Okay.
But they were supposed to be practicing, like, here's the race, dress rehearsal. And then Coulthard even though he had a fresh engine, it failed, and then Klein's gearbox failed. So they haven't been able to practice so much. So
I believe it. Okay, you know what? We're running out of time, Desiree. We got to wrap it up. Can you wrap up your whole segment in a few seconds here?
Okay, sure. You already talked about Kimi, I think.
I did speak about Kimi declining his $72 million salary.
Yes, supposedly this Spanish newspaper has confirmed that he said that he's not returning at McLaren.
Okay, now this Spanish newspaper is put this statement out, and this is dated February 24th, correct?
It's it was actually, it says 2/23 when I look at the actual article. It was 2/24 that someone posted this on a website. And it was talked about something from 2/23, but okay. It's all in Spanish. It's a Spanish paper.
Okay. Well, we'll get our Spanish department on that right away.
Exactly. McLaren improved they have a new front wing, and it has improved their pace by 0.4 seconds.
Excellent. Excellent.
So Kimi was fastest Wednesday in Barcelona. You were talking about today, but yesterday he was fastest.
Okay. Fantastic. Yep.
And they're saying that he's fastest because he was given a new spec engine that improved the pace. And so they're giving him all the toys to woo him.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's rumored to go to Ferrari. So
yeah.
Well, Juan Pablo Montoya is not getting any of the good stuff.
That's too bad.
Because they're working on wooing Kimi, trying to keep him around.
Yeah, all they have to do is buy him a couple of bottles of Finlandia.
Well, he's smart, though. He's a smart little one.
Okay.
But they've also made improvements to their pistons in the Mercedes engine.
Okay. Oh, really?
And
good.
So,
good. I know that was one of the problems, and some of the valves were having problems. But anyway, we're out of time, Desiree. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You want to leave a message to your listeners?
I want to encourage the other female Formula One fans to write in and let me know how many females are out there and listening to our podcasts. My sisters, let me know. Let me hear you. Be loud, be proud, be female, and write me at f1weekly.com. I'd love it.
Excellent. Desiree, another great job. Thank you. Next Tuesday, you'll be on assignment again, and we'll talk to you probably next week in the middle of the week. All right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Desiree, good night.
So, good night, F1 Weekly listeners. And I want to say adios to Senor Producer.
That's right, our producer.
Hasta luego to him.
Our producer is going on vacation to Bolivia. We'll be without a producer for 3 weeks. Bear with us, podcast people.
Yes. We will miss you, Senor Producer.
Yes. We'll suffer a little bit, but we'll get through it. So, anyway, thanks a lot, Desiree. We'll talk to you next week.
Bon nuit. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, that was Desiree, always with a fantastic outlook and a lot of good facts. And we're going to go take a break now. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
How far is the moon from the Earth?
Interested in trivia? Please tune in to My Trivia Podcast, a weekly podcast rarely more than 8 minutes in duration, with 10 or more questions and answers of fun facts about topics such as science, geography, history, and there's even some audio thrown in. You can find My Trivia Podcast in iTunes, Podcast Alley, and other podcast sites, or you can go to www.mytriviapodcast.com. Hope to have you tuning in.
The moon is 250,000 miles away.
Hi, this is Steve with F1Weekly.com. Our podcasts are brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google toolbar and features like autofill and spell check. It will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
Well, the answer to today's trivia question is no. Minardi holds the distinction for the most F1 seasons at 21 without a podium finish. Their best finish was fourth, and that happened three times with two different drivers. In 1993, Christian Fittipaldi placed fourth at Kyalami with a Ford V8, and Pierluigi Martini scored two best-of-the-rest finishes twice in 1991 at Estoril and Imola, both races running a 3.5-liter Ferrari V12. So there's your answer to today's Formula One trivia.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here is your host, and I'm joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. We just got the answer to the Formula One trivia question, a good Minardi tidbit. I actually didn't know that answer. For some reason, I thought they might have gotten to the podium, but I was wrong. But I want to thank mytriviapodcast.com. I also want to remind F1 Weekly listeners, are going to be the first to hear a special Formula One-related version from My Trivia Podcast sometime next week. It'll definitely be on the next podcast after this one. On this podcast, the questions range from novice to expert level, but it's going to be like 8 minutes of trivia, all Formula One. You guys are going to love it. Stay tuned, and thank you for all their help over at mytriviapodcast.com.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you, Will. So there you go. Very interesting stuff. I also want to mention a couple of things. We heard about Silverstone getting revamped, getting reworked. They were talking to the BRDC, but apparently they were talking about taking out some significant parts of the track and moving the whole thing east, which makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of wasted territory at Silverstone. Well, apparently the plans to redevelop Silverstone have been delayed now following a meeting of the British Racing Drivers Club, and this could go back and forth because I know the BRDC is one stubborn bunch of guys. Yeah. Also, Max and Bernie gave their approval for the Imola upgrade. They're going to be improving the whole track, mostly paid for by the Italian government as usual, and it'll be ready. They'll start right after the season, and it'll be ready for the 2007 race, Enzo E. Dino Ferrari Circuit.
Is that like $18 million worth of improvements or something like that?
Yeah, but you know, $18 million, that's not that much
money. That's not that much money.
No, I'm surprised it's not more than that. I think there's that's a little on the underside. But
what if it might be euros? It'll be a little bit
more. Well, I have dollars, but it could be euros. Yeah. Not quite sure there. But nevertheless, that's the way it's going. We have some listener email today.
We have a few this week.
They're excellent.
Pretty cool.
Excellent. Go ahead.
The first one's from Bapal in Ottawa, Ontario. What do you guys think about the F1 games out there? Do you play any? If yes, which ones? My personal favorite is F1 Challenge 99 through 02. As far as I know, thanks to the mods and the add-ons, it is the only F1 game out there for the PC that has the latest cars and tracks. I would love to hear your opinions. Thanks. Papa. You know, actually, we'd like to throw this one out to our listeners. I play games but don't do a lot of Sims just because my computer's not fast enough. But we'd like to get our other listeners out there to write in if you guys are playing F1 games on PC, PlayStation. I don't know if there's any available for the new Xbox 360, if there's any for that yet. But write us in, let us know what you think, which ones are your favorites, and we'll share that with Papal.
My favorite is the Formula One for PlayStation 2. Get the steering wheel on the pedals. It's one of the hardest games I've ever played.
Really?
It's out of control. I mean, it's brutal.
Now you know what it's like to be.
It's brutal.
Michael Schumacher.
I'm telling you. But I can only find I think it's the 2000 and 2001 season, and I haven't been able to find a newer PlayStation 2 game for Formula One because in America we don't get that many. England and the European continent, they get a lot of good choices on
games.
You
probably have to import to get the latest.
And unfortunately, you can't go and buy a PlayStation 2 game there and play it on your American PlayStation 2 here because they're not compatible. Yeah. They do this just to irritate me, and it works.
Region codes.
Go ahead, Steve.
Next one from Alex in Cranston, Rhode Island. Just finished listening to my third F1 Weekly podcast. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks. Cool. In regard to Indy GP, I've been to Indy a couple of times and will go again this year. It is an absolutely terrific place to see F1. The Friday and Saturday general admission is $25 and you have the freedom to watch from anywhere. You can get real close to the cars at the end of the backstretch or sit up high and watch the cars come into turn one. Race day, reserve seats are $75. Compare these costs to anywhere else and you realize that this is a bargain on the F1 calendar. This, of course, did not apply to last year when Michelin Wussies dropped out. Your website needs work, but you already know that. I took your survey and also gave you an excellent rating. Hey, thank you. We appreciate that, Alex. He also talks about today's podcast. You were discussing the 110% rule. As I understand, it applies only to the final 10 cars. After the others are knocked out in the first and second sessions, each team must make a reasonable try on a fast lap. rather than limping around and conserving fuel. I assume that if someone spins into the gravel and doesn't have a spare or no time to ready the spare, is screwed. I'll be listening next week. Alex. Thanks, Alex. It's actually a pretty good explanation of that rule. That kind of clarifies it for us. We've got the next one I'm going to read. It's going to also talk about it. And we're going to go, we've discovered a link, and we're going to go check it out and see if we can kind of...
We'll explain it so everyone understands what the 110% rule means, and we'll probably do that on our next podcast next week.
Right. The next one we've got is from Alex Nitt in Vermont. My name is Alex. I am a college student at Virginia Tech. I'm a college student at Virginia Tech and an avid Ferrari fan. Despite the recent troubles with testing in Bahrain, I still have high hopes for them this season. I recently started listening to your podcast, and I have really enjoyed it so far. You were looking for an exact definition of the 110% rule in your recent podcast, and here it is. The clarification means that for the final 20-minute session, which would be the last 10 cars, any driver who sets a lap that is more than 110% of his fastest qualifying lap will not have that lap count towards the tally of laps that they are allowed to refuel for after the session. It means that any driver going slow will lose out on fuel, which could prove costly in the race. Hope you guys are ready for the season. P.S. The F1 trivia segment is excellent. Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex actually summed it up in a nutshell. That was a fairly accurate description.
Right. Basically, if somebody tries, if one of the last 10 cars is trying to sandbag, they're just going to go, hey, you can't refuel.
Exactly. Well, you'll lose those refueling credits per lap. So, and that's the key. You want to get that fuel. So that was a pretty good explanation, but we'll go into it a little bit deeper. But, I mean, it's not that complicated. There's not that much to it. But we'll talk about qualifying because I think it's just going to be very interesting. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up. I just want to say David is going on vacation. I'll remind our listeners he'll be gone for 3 weeks in Bolivia. I also want to thank Mecca of Speed. Those guys are really wonderful. They always send me good emails about great information. I also wanted, I'd like to give a nice mention to all the folks over at TotalF1.com. And if you would like to participate in their game, check them out.
Yeah, they've got a pole podium. Pole and podium?
PPP.
Yeah, PPP game that they actually have prizes for. So basically you select who's going to get pole, who's going to be on the podium, and then I guess you get points. I'm going to check that out this weekend and probably sign up.
Okay, and that's on TotalF1.com. Also, we'd like to say we have moved the Rate Our Podcast button to the front page. You can also rate us through Podcast Alley. Also, if anyone is interested in cross-promotion either through our podcast or F1Weekly.com's website, please contact us. info@F1Weekly.com. And you can check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. So there you go, Steve. Podcast number 17 is a wrap.
A wrap. It's in the can.
David, have a nice flight to Bolivia.
Have a nice vacation, Dave.
Send us a nice little postcard and get Desiree her little spoon. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
Good night, David.
Good night, Dave.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.